listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Tuesday after the national championship game. And oh, did we get it wrong? No doubt about that. Live from Las Vegas, 200 FSR stations across this great nation. In studio, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers, and we're going to examine. I mean, this is going to be almost a post-mortem, almost like an autopsy of lost tickets, powered up, losing tickets. We like Clemson. We thought it was a big overreaction. Obviously not. Sports bettors listen for the money, net. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start on Straight Out of Vegas on a Tuesday, a day in which we've got scandal in professional sports. We've got the NFL, AFC, NFC Championship coming up this weekend. But what for today is the Vegas lead?
Well, it's to me, it's mostly because we got it so wrong. We got to start with that Clemson loss, with that LSU victory.
Absolutely, and it was LSU all over Clemson, number one over number three. 42-25 was the final. LSU are your national champs.
Now listen, the reason that we can be so candid about being wrong is you cannot listen to this show for any length of time and not know that Brad Powers knows his stuff, that Fezzik knows his stuff. Some would say I know my stuff. We don't always agree, which is even more of a sign of honesty. Now, the thing you got to know about Brad, and Brad, you know, you started out in this industry with Phil Steele, a guy who does a lot of TV for ESPN now. Really strong, fundamental understanding, and he does a lot of work in college. And that's kind of was your approach when you moved to Vegas, which is, yeah, I'm a bettor, but really it's about knowing, you know, maybe that's the first question is, what did you see as the difference between handicapping and just being an analyst? Because, you know, you listen to a lot of guys on FS1, on Fox Sports Radio, they know their stuff. Like a Clay Travis. He knows his stuff when it comes to college football. He doesn't, you know, he's not a gambler. He's not, I don't think he claims to be actually, hopefully not. But he is a SEC guy. He knows his football. And he understands what an over-under is or what a spread is or a money line is. And he'll make his bets, but he's not a professional at that. What did you see as the distinction between a Clay Travis, let's say, and a professional?
Great question. I would say that obviously when I was at Phil, it was more about team and player specifics, and when there wasn't much account for the market necessary. And here's one example of it. Like just looking at different books that are, you know, quote unquote, sharper than other books. That's something we just never accounted for when in my time at Phil Steele.
And really that answer speaks to what the big difference is between an analyst or a media guy. We always say a media guy got to get it right. A sports bettor has to get it right when everyone else is wrong.
Good point.
Right? Because if we say, hey, Tom Brady, circa 2007, he's mighty good. Okay, we're right. You're not going to make any money thinking about Tom Brady being good. The question is he a little better in a certain spot? Is he a little worse than others? That kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, And what is it that you got to be right against? It is the marketplace. And probably what we do at least half the time is we'll talk about the odds say this. And the I mean, we've got the college football 2000, or I guess 2020 odds already, right?
Yep.
So we know, okay, what's your thoughts on next year? So maybe I'd be a good little thing. Let's go over those real quick because I'm kind of curious. I haven't looked at him yet.
Yeah, Clemson is your favorite. Despite the loss last night, Clemson's plus 225. What does that mean? If you bet $100, you win 225 on Clemson.
So if I'm just an analyst and I say, you know something? I think Clemson, they lost the game. I think they have as good a chance as anyone next year. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. But as a sports bettor, all it would take is reading from the odds to know Clemson, the market says, has the best chance to win it.
Yep.
Continue.
Ohio State, your alma mater, RJ, plus 350 is second in line. Mm-hmm. Followed by Alabama, 7-1. That's the largest Alabama's been preseason in about a decade.
So you're saying if you bet Alabama, even though they're the third favorite, 7-1, you couldn't get a payoff like that at this time of year for the next year in about a decade. So the chance of them winning it next year, Alabama, is less than any time in the last 10 years.
Yep.
Wow. Then, it's still the third favorite.
It's still the third favorite. And then you have Georgia and LSU both at 8-1.
Okay, so this feels like as much as this year was supposed to be a two-team race. I didn't see LSU on that two-team list, though.
They were not. You were right.
And next year feels like even more so a two-team race, Clemson, Ohio State.
Absolutely, RJ.
I don't think the SEC is going to be okay.
No, they're not.
Out of that mix. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas, doing a post-mortem, Quincy style. You remember Quincy, Jonas?
No, who the hell is that?
You don't know Quincy?
No.
How old are you?
Late 30s.
Late, that means like 41.
Yes.
How old are you?
38. Who's Quincy?
Quincy was a medical
Carter,
examiner.
Quincy Carter, the former Cowboys quarterback? Quincy
Carter? No. Remember the famous Seinfeld? This was great. Kramer had a girlfriend uptown. It's the first time, or no, she was downtown, right? Because he's midtown, and she was downtown, which is like, you know, 3 miles away. And he was like dating, it was like he was dating a girl from across the country. One time, Jerry walks in and goes, Jerry, you believe I'm watching Quincy right now? And she's watching Quincy right now.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, he was a medical examiner. Very, very important. Post-mortem. See, you're falling?
Yeah, okay. I got you.
That's Jonas. What did you get wrong? Because really, you've been against LSU. I would say you're the face of anti-LSU.
Now, I would agree.
That's not the thing to be right now.
No, it's not.
All right, but that's what you've been. Even yesterday, you were so strong with it. You said, listen, I bet this thing. I gave it to you at 6, Clemson. I would bet it at 3.5. Is effectively what you said if you read between the lines.
Yep.
I mean, when you are that adamant, there's no way, you know, today you could say, well, you know, I said it wasn't as strong as 6. No. You were committed.
I said still bet it.
And you bet again. I mean, you probably had picks against LSU here 4 or 5 weeks.
Absolutely. That's conservative.
So you started the year thinking this was the fourth best team.
I did.
How could you be so wrong when you were, what was the marketplace at with LSU starting the year?
6th or 7th best team.
So you were literally a couple notches higher.
Yeah.
Where did it go wrong?
I question whether or not Ed Orgeron could be elite of the elite. It starts with him. Uh-huh. A guy with an accent like that, a guy in Ed Orgeron that was fired from Ole Miss, a guy that LSU fans last November wanted to fire after the Alabama game.
Of course, LSU, the fans must have such deep insight into own coach.
Yep.
I mean, I can't possibly be like, oh, the fans don't like him, so how could I like him?
Fair enough.
But was that it, though?
I am taught not to overreact, and I don't know how a guy... I
mean, it seems like you're changing gear. Oh, overreact to what? The fact he had a losing record at Mississippi?
No, entering last season, Ed Orgeron was the favorite to be the first coach fired in college football.
Okay.
So and I just don't see, I don't normally see that change.
But once you felt, do you think he was going to get fired because he was bad or because LSU is unreasonable, a la prior? I mean, you didn't think it, because by definition, when you said they were the fourth best team, you thought they were going to have a good year. So, like, why were you worried about firing unless you were using that, those odds of him getting fired as a proxy of how good a coach really is, right? Like, I don't, it'd be one thing if you said, you know, the coaches all voted and they thought he was the worst, and then you could say maybe they know more about his skill set than me.
Yeah,
here's what it is. And it's so funny. I only say this to provide context. I've taken more high-level math classes than 99% of people in this country. Just know that I have a finance degree, and I took three calculus classes in college and three statistics. So let's just call it six high math classes. I hate math people in this industry because not that there's not many of them that, you know, got their master's or PhDs and know a lot more math than me, no doubt. But it's the way that they are so closed-minded that you've got to do it this way or you're an idiot. And like even a guy like Bill Parcells, you know, they're telling him why he's wrong with the math. It's like, could you imagine one of those dudes on the other sideline against Bill Parcells? And what kind of bet I'd like to make on Bill Parcells in that case? And it's because this, you're right, Husky fella. I think he, Orgeron actually shops in the Husky section, I think. He's Husky.
Yeah.
And he's got that voice.
Yep.
He's got that accent.
Yep.
It's almost like the exact same things that make him successful as a recruiter, as a team builder, are the things that offend those who live in their mom's basement. Well, wait a minute. Maybe there's a connection there. I'm guessing that Orgeron went to his senior prom. I have no idea. I'm guessing he did.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm guessing most of the people that jaded you against him didn't.
Fair enough, including myself.
So, but you're not one of these snobby math guys. And, you know, speaking of Belichick, you know, there's actually up at NFL.com, there's a story, you know, from a while back that says he puts less than zero stock into analytics during the Patriots pressure. Now, here's what's funny. Belichick's using math as much as anybody, right?
Yep.
He doesn't have to hang his hat on it. And if anything, he wants to put you off the scent. That's what's funny.
Yes.
Look at the hedge funds, the guys that really make the money. They don't want to have a big lecture about how they're doing it. They want to try to deceive you on how they're doing it so they can keep doing it. So all these, you think they figure, hey, I got a big edge. I'm going to get a job in a front office. I'm going to do, look at Billy Beane, right? Once he got famous, all those inefficiencies went away.
Yep.
But somehow I don't see these guys trying to hide their efficiencies, right? I don't see them hiding their secret sauce. You know why? There is no secret sauce. They're in their mom's basement, literally.
Yep.
And the guys who have got out of the basement have at least, you know, you listen to a Billy Beane. He's not pontificating. He's saying this is how we do it. We think there's efficiencies here. Not trying to dictate what everyone else has to pass some purity test. Ed Orgeron didn't pass the purity test, and you couldn't comprehend he was any good.
I agree.
Now, what purity test has Saban ever? Like, do you ever see Saban, you know, with his little scientific calculator from Texas Instruments?
I don't see it.
So, but why is this? You either got to win a bunch of championships or.
Yeah, but he also looks the part. He's a guy that's, you know, turning 70, looks like he's 58. He's fit in shape. I like the yelling and the screaming on the sidelines.
So you're saying it's like it's a bias against him being overweight?
It could be, yeah.
Wow. I mean, Jonas, we're getting some real truth here, wouldn't you say?
I wonder if Brad still, though, thinks about Ed Orgeron as the coach at Ole Miss where he was terrible. I mean, because that's the sample size we've got as a head coach, and it didn't go well for him at Ole Miss.
Well, I think Jonas just did the tease. We are continuing. This is long form. You know, another 5 minutes when we come back. We are literally going to keep digging because we don't like to be wrong. And Brad, he didn't agree because I don't really ask, you know, permission. But that's part of this show is when you're wrong, you go under the microscope. And by the way, when we come back, I'm going to have maybe my strongest rant in months about the cheating scandal in baseball.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue our national championship recap to find out what the hell went wrong.
Yes, bloodletting, you could almost call it. And in a few minutes, my rant, and it's a rant on this baseball cheating. I don't think you've heard this take anywhere. You can listen to the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. That's Straight Out of Vegas, up 150% since January, last January alone. 5 days a week, foxsportsradio.com, hundreds of stations across the country, also iHeartRadio app, also SiriusXM, and anytime podcast, just search for RJ Bell. Right now in the strip, 58 degrees. The neon is pumping.
So, RJ, we've been recapping the national championship. LSU favored going into the game, and they take care of business 42-25. The LSU Tigers, much to Brad Powers' dismay, are your national champions.
And that's what we're trying to figure out. What did Brad get wrong? So we talked about, Brad, you thought he didn't fit the bill, Orgeron, as a great coach, as a title-winning coach. Some of it, the accent. You might say, wait a minute, Brad's got prejudice against accents? How do you respond to that? Because I think it's a valid question.
I probably shouldn't, considering where I grew up. So,
I mean, you got a low accent yourself.
I know.
From the farm.
I would say it's a little ignorance there on my part.
But I think it's a lot of honesty, meaning that different people might relate different accents to different things, but in general, that good old boy Southern accent, you don't think rocket scientist.
I do not. I don't think X's and O's going to out-scheme Nick Saban and be a national title coach. No, I do not.
But you do see that if that's the kind of players, if you're recruiting Southern boys, the guy that shows up with the computer and, you know, the advocate, like Fezzik wouldn't recruit so well.
Fair enough. Absolutely right.
So in a weird way, you got to say the guy who actually has some skills when it comes to X's and O's, when it comes to analytics, who has the ability to present themselves or maybe the most genuine presentation of themselves is the good old boy. That seems like a wickedly effective combination.
It does, absolutely.
But at no point did you think, maybe I got Orgeron wrong.
I did not, RJ. Maybe I'm just too stubborn, too much ego. And I still don't think I have it all the way wrong.
Now, wait a minute. I thought we were in a mea culpa type mode here. You're saying,
I mean, I couldn't
somehow
been
during the commercial break, you said, I'm giving up, I'm conceding too many points.
No,
so what are you pulling back on?
I will say I couldn't be more wrong on a single season than what I was on LSU this year. But to me, I still think it was LSU was fortune. They caught lightning in a bottle this year.
What is that called? Winning is lightning in a bottle. I mean, what was lightning in a bottle?
I mean, you got a hot quarterback in Joe Burrow.
Hot. So somehow that dismissed. So was which quarterback was great that won a Heisman? So was there any recent Heisman winners that weren't hot?
Fair enough, for RJ.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, like, what is a Heisman winner other than a guy that gets hot, right?
That's the definition.
Now, the question is, do you somehow think, like, Burrow's probably going to go number one, right?
Yep.
Some people are saying this is the best, literally the best run at quarterback we've ever seen. Is that debatable to you?
I think it was the best season at quarterback we've ever seen. But here's what I'm holding on to.
Wait. You're saying Joe Burrow
Yeah.
Had the greatest season in the history of college football.
Statistically, he did.
No. I'm not asking statistically. I'm saying, what do you
think? He did.
So that's more than a Hawk quarterback, isn't it? All right, go ahead.
I can't get over the fact that 4 months ago, Joe Burrow was going to be a late round pick at best, and now he's number one. And maybe that's the issue. In today's day and age, I am not quick enough to adjust. I'm too steady Eddie, slowly upward trajectory instead of making significant upgrades.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
I mean, where would Kyler? My big argument with Kyler Murray was if the draft had been held 12 months before, we were speculating second round or something. Or
like fourth or fifth round.
Fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
So you weren't some big pessimist on Kyler Murray at the college level, right?
Good point.
So there's something here I don't think we've gotten to.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? You know what I think it is? I think early on you got entrenched as a Burrow or as an LSU skeptic. And for you, you just don't like to back off.
There's that. And I think it's maybe one more thing. I'm going to admit another flaw. Jealousy. I didn't bet a 200-1 Burrow. I didn't bet an LSU 50-1 ticket. I didn't have those tickets. And I'm Mr. Longshot when it comes to that.
It's true. And Jonas, before we even had this show, literally the first show Brad ever did with me, local radio here in Vegas, he walks in and I said, well, give me a couple Heisman Longshots. He goes, I got one, Lamar Jackson, 100-1. I go, who? He goes, Lamar Jackson. Cashes the 100-1 ticket. Then the next year, you had a big jumbo long shot that got didn't cash, but got second, right?
Yeah, I love the Stanford running back. 100-1, he finished second. Didn't get paid.
I know you didn't get paid. But still, when you have 200-1s and one wins and one gets second, so you're saying you didn't have a vested interest in his success and made you a skeptic.
Yep.
But here's the thing, Jonas. It'd be very easy for a listener to say, you know something? The qualities that Brad Powers are admitting are really problematic for a guy that's going to advise me on my bets. You know something? Almost anyone, and I mean almost anyone, and I say there might be a handful of guys in their 60s that have grown above this. The ego it takes to be a sports bettor, it's one of the great paradoxes in the United States, I think, really. Which is to be a sports bettor, you got to have a massive ego and massive humility. Now, what do I mean by that? The ego is I will lay -110 against the world because by definition, the odds are the world's opinion. It's wisdom of crowds, collective IQ, whatever term of art you want to use for it. It's everyone has an aggregated opinion. It's like voting, except the votes are weighted by how much you bet. Jonas bets $33. I bet $3,300. I got more votes than Jonas. But we're both voting, right? And oh, by the way, one time, at some point, Jonas has true inside information. First of all, he better be texting us. You can use one of those secure apps if you want. But he will find a way to call his bookie and say, I know I usually bet 33, but I just have a feeling today. Would you take 3,000 on this? If he had true inside info, I'm not saying he'd do that. I hope he would, but And that's what happens is when there is true inside info, and then what would he do? He'd tell us, he'd want a cut probably. Fezzik would tell someone and before there'd be millions of dollars on this.
Yep.
That's what happens. When there's true inside info, the market at a lightning's pace figures it out and moves in that direction. If someone really knows their stuff about hockey first quarter somehow, who's thinking about that? Who's listening to that? Who's talking about that? I don't know. But if you know your stuff, what's going to happen? That guy might be betting 500 a game. That's it. But someone's going to find out how much he knows, and then they're going to start betting, and before long, the whole market's going to move. It's like the stock market. Efficient market theory says, here's that finance degree, that everything known publicly is built into the price of a stock. Well, that's what the efficiency of the betting market. But somehow Brad every day says, I'm going to bet 11 to win 10 against the world. That takes guts. Some would say it takes stupidity.
Yep.
But it takes ego and confidence. On the other hand, if you're not learning every day, if you're staying stubborn, forget about it. There's a lot of duct tape shoe guys, and we call them that because they used to win and they had new shoes. Now they have to put duct tape on the old shoes because they haven't won since they bought those shoes because the market changed. Think about the NFL, how different it is today than even 7 years ago. So you got to keep changing as a bettor that makes money, but you also somehow, some way, have to have a massive ego. It really is a dichotomy. And, you know, Jonas, you're in a unique position because, you know, you're here and you're supporting us and you're doing a wonderful job, but you're observing. Do you see that it both takes humility and ego?
Yeah, and I also think that because you're human beings, that you can fall victim to maybe having a little bit of a bias going into it. And so because Brad was so adamant that LSU was not the LSU everybody thought they were, maybe he carried a little bit of that with him. I carry a lot of that with me, which is why I'm terrible at gambling. Like that's just
so give me an example of where you've had a bias.
Well, I mean, the Super Bowl, I want to say it was 48. It was Broncos Seahawks. I believe that was Super Bowl 48. I was so convinced that Denver was going to win that Super Bowl that I continued to live bet Denver the entire game, and they got blown out. And no joke, I went 1-17 in my bets in that game. I continued to live bet it.
Now this wasn't live bet Jesus.
No, I don't. I have no affiliation with him. I don't even know who that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jonas is so right. And I think that if you're a bettor who's on the radio, who's on television, it's even worse because you're in a weird way, you're afraid to be wrong. Now, I'm not, but I'm demented. But most normal people would be afraid to be wrong. And that's, I think we've seen it with Fezzik, where he's a little quick to reverse himself than he would have been years ago. And we've been talking to him like, I'll give you an example, and it's a good one for me. Seattle, beginning of the year, I said Seattle was like a 9-7 level team. Seattle got very hot. I thought it was a fugazi. I thought it was deceiving. I thought it wasn't just the truth of it. And I kept saying that Seattle was overrated.
How do you know it's a fugazi?
Well, it's a fake.
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
But when it ended up, what did I do? Did I reverse myself? No. I said, you know something? I still think I'm right. Let's watch and see. Now, you could say, well, they made the division round, RJ. Maybe you weren't right. I think it's hard to watch that team and say this was an elite team. This wasn't a Super Bowl team. Now, I could have been right. I could have been wrong. You only need to be right 55% of the time. And you guys might think, boy, RJ's doing us such a service by telling us how hard it is to win. I am. Because people who are trying to cheat you are going to say it's easy to win. But I'm doing it for another reason. Because I want your expectations to be reasonable. Because if you think we're going to be right every freaking time, then when we're wrong sometimes, you're going to go somewhere else. And then somewhere else, chances are they're not going to have your interests at heart the way we do. Now, are there... There's It's not like there's no one else that has your interest at heart. I'm saying this is an industry full of people that want to get over on you. It's just their nature, right? Bettors' nature is to get over on people. And, you know, maybe it's just I've been in Vegas over 20 years and I've gotten over enough. But I don't, you know, to me, I want to help. I really do. I do think what's happening in the next year or two, you know, it's been about 18 months we've had this show. And it was the first and only still show on a major national network radio that's from Vegas, talking Vegas. And if we do a good job, and again, fastest growing show on FSR, that's about as good as you get. That means that we keep going, yeah. But it means the next show happens and the next show happens. And maybe the way we're doing it becomes the way it gets done. Because the way that it's been done in the past by this industry, leaves a lot to be desired. So to wrap, so I guess my last thing, Brad, is it seems like you're equivocating, as they say, where you're still skeptical. So if I said, how many years? Let's see if I can make you, if I can punish you for your skepticism. Yep. Because that's really the ultimate revenge. If I said Ed Orgeron will win another national title, yes or no? In his career, what would you say?
I say no, and I'd be willing to give you 3-1.
Okay. We have a bet. So we do, I think this one needs to be a little bigger than usual, right? We usually do 100.
1,000.
Well, no. We don't want you crying or anything. Now, what we're going to have to figure, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, is when it gets resolved. Because the bets, until he, knock on wood, passes away, you could say he could be retired for 7 years, and I could still say, hey, he could come back, right? He could, right? Yeah. Dick Vermeil was retired for a while, if I recall. So we'll figure out the terms. But I think maybe we should do 400 to win 12. That way it's a nice four-figure payoff.
Okay.
But we'll figure it out. But think about this. He talked so much about how stubborn he was. And then at the end, he made a gigantic bet against Ed Orgeron. I don't know what that says, but it probably says a lot. We talked about it, the baseball cheating scandal. I got a hot take.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Your restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Did I hear that right, Jonas? Is the Little League is getting new uniforms this year?
I would have to. Is that Dan Beyer who had that story in the update?
No, he said one of the major, I think the Falcons were getting new uniforms.
Oh, okay.
Just seemed, it's almost like, couldn't you imagine, like, at the little, town you grew up in, Brad, and it's like, hey, did you hear, the high school's getting new uniforms for the football team. Right? I mean, it just seems weird to hear that an NFL team's getting new uniforms.
I know the Rams announced it's probably the design. Yeah.
But that's a phrase you hear a lot, small town America.
Oh, yeah, I know the Rams announced it also on social media earlier this week, a few weeks ago as well, too. They're going to be doing new uniforms next year also. So,
but there's got to be a better way to say new uniforms, because it really sounds like they're going to get, like, the one with the holes in.
I get what
right? I mean, you just are getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do now.
It's like, we're doing a big lot or a big drawing for new uniforms for the football.
A fundraiser.
Exactly.
Yeah, car wash.
It sounds different. I don't know. All right. Listen. Every show talks about hot takes. We always say cold cash over hot takes. I don't think this is hot, but when we come back, I'm going to say how I believe sincerely that what's going on in baseball is literally connected to why Donald Trump was elected president.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, major news came down in Major League Baseball yesterday, in which Jeff Luhnow, general manager for the Astros, and also A.J. Hinch, their manager, were both fired after an investigation into the cheating and sign-stealing scandal from a couple of years ago in the World Series.
Yeah, I got to tell you, part of me thinks this story isn't even worth talking about. Part of me thinks this is the biggest story in baseball in years. So when I think it's small, I'm thinking, hey, you can steal signs without the aid of electronic equipment. So what's the big deal, right? So you could say, oh, it's a small print kind of nuanced story. But then on the other hand, it's literally the World Series. It's literally, how much does it matter? It's the championship. It's the Bobby Thompson type home run was about what? To literally, if I recall, that was just to make the World Series, wasn't it? Or was that the World Series itself?
I think it was the World Series.
I thought it was the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant was the call, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So just to make it is we know the call, right? Kirk Gibson, you know, I don't believe what I just saw was a game in the World Series. Now, how much did this stuff affect the results? Boy, I've seen things where the analytics people are saying, if you look at the home against road and the disproportionate results, it was significant. And how many times does it take knowing when it takes one swing, one three-run homer, changes the whole World Series? So I think it's big. And what was the Black Sox about, right?
Yeah.
It was about cheating and the World Series being affected. And when I say Black Sox, no one has to wonder what I'm talking about, right? Why'd you say it ain't so, Joe? So to me, the question becomes not just the players, not just the Dodgers, by the way, not just maybe this guy was fired over losing the World Series, maybe losing some other time to Houston, but it's the fans. By definition, you know, David Stern understood during the Tim Donahue scandal, if the fans don't trust the results, you're done. You're wrestling at that point. And wrestling can be successful, but it's for a different reason than sports is successful. And to me, it's really a disconnect between the rules and justice, meaning that what's happened in this society, and I mean, this is something that literally Kafka wrote about way back. The book by Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead, talks about if you want everyone to be under your control, then you make everything illegal, and then you decide when to prosecute. And literally from totalitarian regimes like Russia way back in the day, there was all this feeling of the rules are corrupt. Something's wrong with the rules. We can't trust the rules. And we talked about President Trump. I think it's hard to say that President Trump isn't a big part of him being around or being the president is being driven by people saying, you know something? You guys, the rules you're trying to make us live by are such BS that you're not living by them, that we want someone to come in there and just tear it all up because we hate this idea, this pontificating of what's right and wrong. And I think sports is as bad as anybody at this, any organization, NFL, baseball, basketball. It's about the hypocrisy. It's that you don't trust the rules. You don't trust it matters. 61 used to be this sacred number, Roger Maris. And now what does 61 mean? Nothing. It's why? Because the rules didn't matter. Now the question is, would Barry Bonds or supposedly, allegedly, whatever we want to say, would the guys that beat or that did cheat, would they have done it if there was more respect for the rules? And to me, the lack of respect for the rules stems from that they're hypocritical, that they're not about justice. They're about how does the people in power get over? What is the most convenient for us? Because we get to make the rules. There's a famous story that after the Revolutionary War, King George asked a guy that was painting his picture, who also painted George Washington's picture. He goes, what's Washington going to do now? Said, oh, he'll go back to his farm and, you know, be a citizen. He goes, what? He could be the king and he's not going to be the king. He said, no. He goes, if that's true, he's the greatest man that ever lived. And the idea that you can be in power and make rules that aren't to your benefit, but are to the benefit of justice, it's the most difficult thing because we're all human. We want power. We want preferential treatment. But to me, baseball and all they've done, not for justice's sake, but for their own pocketbooks and maybe their own expediency. Oh, there's some problem here. We could crack down on them big time now, or we can kind of hide it, or we can wait, or we can deny it because we don't want to take the heat today. We don't want to take the loss of revenue today. To me, all of these decisions as baseball's made, that's made it where the rules aren't connected to justice, is what made this seem like something small initially, but maybe it's bigger than we realize. And maybe, hopefully, baseball is going to wake up and make it about justice and not just their own benefit, because the fans deserve that.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!